Father, we know that it's by your Holy Spirit that the hearts that have been captured, you have ability to open those hearts so that your light shines in. And that's what we pray today as we've been singing there, that your grace, Holy Spirit, come and minister, shine the light into the darkness of the hearts and the minds of the unsaved. Father, you speak as your Son taught that the eyes are the windows of the soul. And we ask this morning as we've been singing that by your Holy Spirit there will be truth that will be such a revelation that will just penetrate deep into their soul, and there will be truth and life and rebirth taking place throughout this nation. Father, thank you. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in releasing truth where Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. What a privilege to know that as we believe and as we understand and we pray by your Holy Spirit to break through that and shine truth into their hearts. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for your incredible love for all. And our prayer and our heart goes out that your Holy Spirit will move so powerfully over this nation, so that this nation, every name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that none should be not written. And that's our heart cry, Father, because that's your heart cry, that's your desire for all to be saved. So our part in it as your family, as your children, Father, today may your Holy Spirit continue throughout this nation, impart and share and guide and lead us. And that's why we can also just say, awaken us in a way that we who are light can truly be a tangible witness in the darkness of this world. And this we celebrate as you take us deeper into an understanding of who we are, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, last Sunday we were looking at a sort of more of a testimony by Dr. John Belindi on their journey of praying for Uganda and some of the insights that they learned and what God began to reveal to them. And that foundational scripture for them was that one in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land and answer their prayer. And so they started to really come together and ask God, God, show us, why aren't you answering our prayers? And that began their journey when God started to share with them. First of all, there was that starting point where they didn't really expect God to answer prayer. And so it was a journey of, again, just discovering the reality that God delights in answering prayer. And he went through the scriptures that God had given to them. And then the second part was where the land had been really defiled because of the blood of innocent lives that were slain. And they had to just come into repentance and then began to pray, because every leader from that time, when that chief gave the order to kill those missionaries, every leader had the tendency to murder the people of the nation of Uganda. And so they went into repentance and God began to bring healing into their land. But that's their journey, and we've got a different journey. We live in South Africa. We've got a different history. We've got different population. We've got different cultures, race groups here in South Africa. And there's all these things. So we're in the process of asking the Holy Spirit to show us just how to pray for South Africa, how to pray for this nation. Some of you may also be finding a deep call to pray for other nations, and it's the same journey. Father, show us how to pray for other nations as well. So wherever you may be, this is a time where we're going to be learning together just on the reality of prayer and just walking with the Holy Spirit in His wisdom in prayer. Now, our text this morning is in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's that scriptures that we looked at, verse 8 and 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13. I want to just read that and then put it into the context. The previous verse, in verse 7, Paul is writing to them about people that are living, that are still living in sin. They're separated from Christ. And he is writing throughout the letter that you used to be like that, but that's no longer who you are. That's not you. And he says, don't be partners with them. Don't join up in their activities of darkness. Don't get into agreement with them and to say, yes, what you're doing is correct, etc. And so he's been speaking a lot about that. And then he says over there, therefore do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Very important, because Jesus is the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Now have nothing to do with darkness, with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Very important for us this morning. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So that which is in secret will be exposed because of us being light. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. In the song that we've just sung, this is the context. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then carries on about the relationships in the household, relationships in the work environment, and the relationships with children and parents, parents and children. And he carries on. And then in chapter 6, it's fascinating, and that's why it's always important to understand the flow of the letters that we read in Scripture. So we see at the very end of this letter that Paul's writing to the family of God, he then speaks about the armor of God. But at the end, you see, and he says over here, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark, notice the emphasis, of this dark world. Very important, because we are not darkness, we are light. Okay? Get the theme of this morning about light and darkness. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation with the sword of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chain. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And then he closes and he says, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying love. Now it's fascinating that at the end when Paul speaks about the armor of God. He does it at the end and he says, be strong in the Lord. So from the very first verse in Ephesians chapter 1, right through, he's giving the revelation of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's opening up the reality of who they are and who, what's taken place in our lives and the incredible reality of being born again in Christ Jesus and the love of God that before we were even born, how God has predestined us to be in Christ Jesus. And he's, so he's laying down an incredible foundation of amazing truth of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and us as children of God. And so he's helping the family of God to get established in the truth so that they can be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, it's vital to be established in truth in order to be able to pray for a nation dealing with the dark forces of the nation. It's important to be established in truth in Christ Jesus. It's important to know our true identity to be able to pray for a nation. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit of a painful experience. Okay. And so that's why God first is guiding us on how to begin to pray, how to be established in Christ Jesus, how to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, because our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces in this dark world, in this darkness that Paul speaks about over here. A silly example, but it's silly to help us understand something. Imagine some of you have been in the police force. Imagine here a policeman or policewoman is now coming and he has a crime scene. There are criminals over there and the criminal says to the police, are you really a policeman? And the policeman starts to wonder if I'm really a policeman or not. Imagine in a conflict situation, this police person is, if I am or not. See, we're in warfare and the devil comes and says, are you really a child of God? Well, I wonder if I'm a child of God or not. The same thing. It's silly, but it shows you the truth if we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We go through this doubt. We will go through all of this. I wonder, wonder, wonder. And that's why Satan came and tempted Jesus. One of the aspects of his temptation. If you are the Son of God. And he got the victory for us. So that in him, in the amazing victory where he was being tempted by the enemy, we find we can be strong in him because he overcame the evil one. Okay, and this is part of the revelation that Paul is busy writing and sharing to the body of Christ so that they can be able to do the warfare that is necessary for the great commission that Jesus commanded us to be involved with. So we don't want to be like the police person that doesn't know their true identity. They've gone through all the training. They did all the exercise. They got the uniform. And then they say, I wonder if I'm a police. Because they don't know who they really are as a police person. They don't know the law. They don't know their responsibility. We can go through all the training. We can go through all the exercises and have all the head knowledge. And the enemy comes and says, who do you think you are to pray in this nation? Who do you really think you are to be able to do this? Oh, I wonder. I think he might be right. It's stupid. But it's a reality in the body of Christ. And so this morning, we want to pray for the body of Christ in South Africa that the Holy Spirit will help us understand what the Word of God says, who we are in Christ Jesus as a child of God, fathered by Heavenly Father, what it is to be. And so the particular scripture that we're going to be praying about this morning is this verse 8, where Paul writes, for you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Notice what he's saying over here. He's not speaking about the doing. He's speaking about the being. You and I, we were once darkness. That's who we were. We did not have the life of Christ in us. We were once darkness. So many times we spend so much time worldwide of the different races, the colors of the skin, and we have all these sidetracking issues there. God simply says, you're dark or you're light. Simple like that. Stay focused. Stop wasting time. Do you have the life of Christ in you, or do you not have the life of Christ in you? So he makes it very simple for us to be free of all the issues of racism and cultures and nature and the different languages, etc. And so you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Religion focuses on the doing. We can be in darkness and do the right things, reading the Bible, praying, singing, going to church, and we can still be in the darkness because we do not have the life of Christ within us. Religion focuses on the doing. Here we're speaking about who we are, the being in Christ Jesus. Here we're speaking about what took place when we got born again by the Holy Spirit. What we're speaking about here, Paul writes in chapter 2, and he says over here in chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So we prayed, God, raise up the dead. That's what we're speaking about, not the physical dead. We're speaking about those without Christ. We're praying for the unsaved. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. That's the acts of darkness, craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, and it is by grace you have been saved. And then we see how Christ has raised us up. Who are we who have been born again, who have been fathered by Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit? Who are we as people that's got a very real relationship with Christ Jesus? Who are we that's got eternal life? And as Jesus explains, this is eternal life, that you may know the Father, the only true God, the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a very real relationship. It's not the doing. It's the being. Who are we that we can experience the reality because we are now light? And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that we now are partners of the divine nature. We share with the nature of God, with the Holy Spirit's incredible nature, the fruit of the Spirit within us. Who are we as children of light? And that's crucial because that's going to help us to make decisions. This is going to help us to know how to pray. This is going to help us to know how to plan our lives. This is going to keep us in knowing that we are children of light. I'm no longer a child of darkness. Therefore, as a child of light, something took place where I participated in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be able to live this new life, because that's who I am in Christ, this new creation. I am light. And that makes it so much easier to make decisions. Now I know if I go this way, I'm participating in darkness. If I go this way, I'm continually walking and living as children of light. So it's very simple, very, very simple. Because when we want to pray for a nation and we don't know that we are children of light, and we started to end up participating with darkness, we're fighting the battle in the spiritual realm that's dark, and we're participating in dark. And the devil will say, what are you doing? And he'll poke his finger in our nose and our eye. Because we don't know that we are children of light and we are called to live as children of light. So God called us to pray for the body of Christ in South Africa so that all of us will start to realize, but listen, we are children of light. The decisions I make, and this is huge because some of you will be angry. One of the realities of our nation, one of the things that God is busy speaking and sharing why he doesn't answer prayer is the example of Israel that refused to come to God and ask God for help, and they would go to Egypt to ask Egypt for help. And God said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. And we say, but they are stupid. Shall we come as a church in South Africa? Some come to God, but the large majority don't come to God. They go to the politicians to seek help for their situation. See, these are the things that God is dealing with the body of Christ. Because we don't go to God, we go to politicians. And we may say, but that's not us. We've got to ask God to show us our hearts and our motives of why we vote, who we vote for, these kind of things. This is part of the cleansing. This is part of us. Are we becoming partners with darkness with our votes or not? As I say, sorry, but we are light. And we make decisions because we are light. We pray for a nation because we are light. In Ephesians chapter 4, where again Paul is writing there about us living as children of light. And he says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God. And because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity and continual lust for more. And then he carries on that that's not us, because now in Christ Jesus, he says over here, that's not who we were, but now we were taught in Christ in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. We are light in him. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude and the spirit of your mind, to be put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then again, he carries on about getting rid of all foolish talk, etc. Don't give the devil a foothold in our lives. And then he carries on where we are over here about we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, how does that affect us? Well, he carries on and he says, when we are children of light, or as a children of light, and we have accepted that, that that's who we are, now we start to live and make decisions as light. It's Christ in us. The world sometimes does not understand this, and they will use different words to try and describe us as Christians. I had a phone call during the week, and this is how the unsaved describe when they see Christ's light in a Christian. And this person says they want to come for counseling, and they don't know anyone that is pure as you to help us. See, they use the word purity to explain that in the Christian there's light. That's who we are. The unsaved. And God spoke about the Isaiah 2, The unsaved will see the glory of God. They will see the light in the body of Christ, the purity of the believer, because that's who we are. We've got to renew our mind. That's who we are. That's who our very nature is, light. That's who we are. I've shared this some time back. Again, it's just an example. One Friday evening, I get a knock on the door, and there's this young lady that's knocking on the door, and she says, "There's a light around this house over here. I'm drawn to this light. I'm fleeing from Namibia. I've been involved in witchcraft there, and I'm trying to get escape, and I'm drawn because he has light, and I know I can get help over here." See, they see the light. That's who we are. Be confident and be bold to know that as we walk in this town, we are light in this town. And light does something. It exposes the secrets of darkness. See, we want to do warfare and we want to bind the devil. And we're not yet living who we really are as children of light. Light exposes. And all of a sudden, as the body of Christ in South Africa starts to really, we begin to see God answering our prayers, and now this incredible family, this of light rises up. It exposes the darkness. And all of a sudden, we start to find that somehow we are busy working together with the Holy Spirit. In John 16, when Jesus said, "When my Spirit comes, he will convict the world of what sin is all about." We are now partnering with the Holy Spirit in this incredible great commission of now as light, we expose light. We will be hated, as you, many of you can understand and experience, where people don't like you because you're exposing. And then what Paul says, he has a prayer. "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And so he's now beginning to share. He has an incredible way of praying people are being exposed and this darkness is being exposed. Now you can pray, "Lord, let them be awakened up. Wake them up by the Holy Spirit. They are asleep still. They're still asleep in sin. They're in darkness. They don't know light yet. They need to be awakened so that your light can shine into their hearts. And through them, it's part of the prayer strategy." So we have an amazing starting point is praying for the body of Christ. Sometimes the cost is high because of the decisions we've got to make. I'm light. I cannot do what people in darkness are doing, even though it's so much fun. So much fun. But I can't participate. I think many of you got the testimony when you're in a boardroom and all the guys are drinking and you're sitting over there and you having your glass of water or your orange juice or your Coke, whatever it may be. And it exposes. It exposes. And they start to know that light is in the room. And then they start to question, they start to come and they then say, "I wish I was like you. How can you, what gives you the strength not to compromise like that?" Now you can share the reality of being born again by God. Whatever it is that God is busy showing. And so have fun allowing the Holy Spirit to expose areas in our life. When God started to speak to me about running to Egypt and, "Oh, that's our nation." And the Holy Spirit quickly said, No. "How many times have you run and you've not asked me first for help, but you're there?" Can't blame anybody. It's repentance. Change my behavior. Seek first God. Not running to others first. Okay? So that's part of the repentance. In my own life, a part of renewing my mind in my own life. Part of my journey as well is I'm light. So when I walk around into a place that's pretty, it's dark, people are unsaved. And we see over there how all of us are sons of disobedient, because all of us are from Adam, who is the original son of disobedience. And all of us partake in that original sin of disobedience. And so the spirit of this age is controlling and working because we are part of that fallen reality of Adam and Eve. But then came the son of obedience, Jesus Christ. He was absolutely obedient. And he said, the devil hasn't got a hold of me because I do exactly what my father says. And then he carries on in John chapter 16 and he says to the disciples, don't fear, I've overcome this world. And all of a sudden we start to realize, be strong in him. So as we're praying for a nation and we start to realize, Lord, it's your obedience that we're participating. The law of the Holy Spirit's at work within us. The power of sin has been broken because of your incredible death and resurrection. We've been raised by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a new life. The old self has been crucified. So all the teachings in the past couple of years that the Holy Spirit has been sharing with us has brought us to this place where we can pray for a nation and to be able to make a stand in the name of Jesus Christ, to be strong in him and his mighty power and not be intimidated. Witchcraft is real. Satanism is real. The flesh is real. The desires of the sinful nature is real. All of that is real. But in Christ, there's the victory. And we want to stand strong in him and pray. So we've been taught so that we now know what it is to be children of light, as that's who we are. So let's get established in our true identity. I'm light. You and I, we light. Just know that even this morning, darkness is offended because he has light. You've got to know that. You've got to know that darkness hates light. You've got to know these things. You've got to know that as children of light praying for a nation that's still in darkness, people that are separated from Christ, you've got to know that there's going to be warfare. But we've been trained in Christ Jesus. We've learned, we've knowing more and more how to be strong in him. We've had what we call the resistance training many, many times to be able to stand firm in Christ Jesus. We know these things. So now it's a joyful time of victory, of seeing what Christ is going to be doing for this nation. So I thought this morning as you could also just come and take communion, whatever, but you might want to just get into just the two or three or one yourself, whatever, and take this verse of chapter 5, verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And let's ask the Father to help us as the family of God to know that this is who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay. So Father, we want to thank you this morning. I know that this can be uncomfortable and it can be itchy because certain of our behaviors get exposed and we say, oh, but Lord, we are children of light. That's who we are. We don't want to be in the place where the enemy challenges us and we start to wonder, am I or am I not? We want to know that this is who we are in Christ Jesus. So we ask, Father, by your Spirit, not only just to open this up, but we want to be established and rooted. So no matter what takes place, because many times we're going to sin, many times we're going to fall, but I want us to know, Father, that doesn't change our true identity. We are light. But when we do sin and we do fall, we realize that we're in the process by your Holy Spirit in learning how to live in our true identity of who we are as light. So I'm asking Holy Spirit that the power of the blood of Jesus and his incredible sacrifices and his complete work and who we are in Christ Jesus. Father, won't you show and share with the body of Christ so that we, as we get that true identity, we're able to make choices, we're able to choose the right way, we're able to plan, we're able to deal and to say no to certain things and yes to certain things. Father, I want to ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit and truth, that the deception that the enemy and the world place, that now you won't have fun, all of that will be destroyed with truth. And all the strongholds that have been built up in our minds concerning light, concerning holiness, concerning purity, all of those things that by your Holy Spirit and the Word will just become so clear to us, and we will say, wow, what a joy it we find in loving you. That your joy, Jesus, that you spoke about will be completed in us as we love you, as we love the Father, and we love one another. So we want, Father, for that to be such a foundation in the family of God in this nation. And we thank you, Jesus, as we pray together and as we have communion with you, and we share your incredible love story of how you came and gave your life. And to know that in you, Lord, because you never became dark, you are light. And we want to thank you, Jesus, for your resurrection. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you are the true Son of God. And we want to thank you that in you we have light and we have life. And we thank you. Father, there are many angels that you have assigned to this nation. And we receive their ministry also in helping and leading and bringing people to the place where they will come into the light in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit's ministry. And what a privilege where Jesus, you taught and said that the Holy Spirit will testify, but we too must testify. What a privilege to be one with you, Holy Spirit, to join sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the Father. What a joy to be able to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What a joy to sing in the Spirit with you. What a joy to live a life and just to walk with you, Holy Spirit. And we thank you. Trip us up, Father. Trip us up when we are in the place where we are about to make decisions that are not good for us. Make us aware. We ask that the blood of Christ will really cleanse our consciences so that our consciences are so alive, so fresh, so beautifully active, that even a thought will begin to trigger something within us. And we thank you for a miracle of redeemed conscience. So these things we commit to you, Father, and there's so much that we can pray about. And this, I just ask, Holy Spirit, for such a grace for intercession now as we just eat together and celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.